Yeah.
Okay, it's time just to end off in last week's parasha. I spoke about Kriyas Yamsuf. The Medrash says why did the Yam split? So they're carrying the bones of Yosef, and when it got to the sea, so then the sea split, right? It says in how we say Hayam Rav Ayanais, and so Vayanas Vietzia Chutza, right? Hayam Rav Ayanais means the sea saw and split, and then it says Vayanas and by Yosef for the test of Potiphar, it says Vayanas, he fled, right? Vietzia Chutza, he ran outside. So meaning what? So it says Hayam Ra, the sea saw Vayanas and split. Why did it, and it fled, right? Why did it flee? Because it saw the Vayanas. Hayam Ra, the sea saw Vayanas. What did it see? It saw the Vayanas. The Vayanas made Tziachutza of Yosef, right? So that's what it means. That's why it split. So why? Because Yosef overcame the test of Eishes Potiphar. There's a lot of deep inyanim with this, but just to say something about it before we go into Matan Torah, just want to mention something. So the sea split. He overcame the test with the wife of Potiphar. So that's why. And Taiva, the Arizal talks about this. It's in heavy topics at that, right? That Mayim represents Taiva, right? So Mayim, which is Taiva, the waters of the Yamsuf split because Yosef overcame his Taiva, right? So if you look at the word Yamsuf, the Yamsuf split. If you rearrange the letters, you with me? It spells me Yosef, right? Look at it. Right, Yam Suf is five letters. Me, it's about the same letters as Mi Yosef, right?
Who's Yosef? Mi Yosef.
Mi Yosef means from Yosef. Mem Yud Samach Pei, right? I mean the Yam Suf split because of Yosef. And just one lesson to take out of this is that just like the word Vayanas, to flee, is from the word Nes. Nes is a miracle, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning when a person flees away from sin, so he has the potential to bring about a miracle. Yosef overcame the hardest sin possible. So he had a miracle that was beyond what we could imagine, that all the waters in the world split. Right, but everyone on their own level. That when we overcome sin, we flee from sin, so we can merit a miracle. Okay, next thing is what to say. This is unbelievable. Chassam Sefer. Chassam Sefer is mamish, so many kedushim. But one thing, he says in the Sefer Taras Moshe and Parash Chayisara, and he says over there, he translates these words according to this, but he says that for the miracle of Yamsuf for those people who possess Torah, it's not really a miracle, because like the Aruch Chaim says that the people who Torah is the nature is subservient to the Torah, right? Meaning anyone who really possesses Torah really has the power to do miracles. So the fact that the Yamsuf split wasn't a miracle. He says a miracle is the fact that people that he calls them Balei Torah, right? People that really possess Torah, that they actually have to eat and drink, that they have to consume physical food in order to stay alive. That's a miracle, because really they really live above this world. You should look at it inside. But he says that's how you translate the words. We say this after an aliyah that we get by Kriyas HaTorah, and also in Volatzin we say Hashem Nasan Lanu Teras Emes V'Chayim Nata B'Sechinu, that really Hashem gave us a Teras Emes. And because we have Torah, anyone who really possesses Torah, he shouldn't need to be confined to any physical nature. I mean, obviously the more if a person sins and is connected to this world, so then that, you know, of course he's confined to nature. But someone who really possesses Torah really has a Teras Emes. Emes, you know, that he's connected to the upper world with the Torah. He shouldn't be bound by the laws of nature of this world. But Hashem made a decree that he implanted the physical world. We shouldn't be bound by the laws of nature, but this is the way Hashem made it. You know that the miracle is that a Talmud Chacham has to actually eat in order to stay alive in this world. In this week's parasha, it talks about Matan Torah. So we have the famous words Nasa v'Nishma, right? It's actually next week's parasha in Mishpatim, but talks about it. So there's many things about this. The first question, just what does Nasa v'Nishma mean?
Nasa, we will do v'Nishma, and then we will listen or hear.
Right. So why are we saying we? I mean, there's 600,000 people at Har Sinai, and we will do, we will hear. No, I will do, and I will hear. I don't know what you want. So who am I to talk for you? Why does it say I will do and I will hear? Each person should say according to
Belev one. We're like, it said that we were one. We were like one man. We were like Belev.
Right. Kishachar Belev Echad. Right. Like Rashi says. Right. But still, I'm saying, but according to, it's true that we are like one. But each individual should really answer for themselves, meaning just on a personal basis. Even though we are one, you could want something, but maybe not as much as the other guy. So, and in fact, hopefully we'll say another shot soon. But, But so Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says that the Torah is, if you take a little child to the candy store, you don't have to ask him, like, do you like candy? It's obvious that every 10-year-old, every 5-year-old likes candy. So it's not something that you have to ask him. A person that really, naturally a person loves Torah. Every Jew knew that the other person, it's just the sweetest thing in the world. You don't have to ask him, like, oh, Nasa, are you going to listen to hear? No, for Nasa v'nishma, it was obvious. It was so, such a revelation at Har Sinai. It was so obvious that it's Nasa v'nishma. You don't have to ask the other person. It's just something in general that if we don't, you have to know that the Pasuk says in the end of Sefer Devarim, it says, Reikum Yikem, right? That, and one of the pshatim is that if a person finds a Torah that's empty, that it's just not sweet, it's just boring, it's just monotonous, then you have to know Reiku. If you find Torah is boring, then it's Mikem. It's from you, meaning you're the one who caused it. Meaning, it's like if a person has a tasty chocolate bar and he puts it in his mouth and it tastes bitter. There's nothing wrong with the chocolate bar. The problem is with is something in his mouth that's bitter. If a person just brushes his teeth and he takes a bite out of the chocolate bar, it's not gonna taste good, right? So it's the same thing with Torah, that if a person doesn't feel the sweetness of Torah, it's really because there's something that's lacking within him, right? It could be that he's looking at improper things. It could be, whatever. Every person on their level, they know what's the impediment to why he's not feeling that sweetness. Just also another important thing is just that at Matan Torah, Hashem went around to all the nations of the world. He said, "Like, do you want the Torah?" So we take. So right, the nation of Esau said no. They asked what's in it, and they refused. And Ishmael, but Klal Yisrael said yes. But even when the Jewish people said yes, so you have to know that when Hashem went around to the nations of the world, it's not like every person in that nation said no. The generation, the nation as a whole said no. I mean, the nation of Esau as a whole said no. The nation of Ishmael as a whole said no. But there were individuals there that deep down in their heart, they wanted the Torah. And those people throughout the generations are the ones that converted to Judaism. When he sees someone that converts, it's because his neshama at Har Sinai said yes, even though his nation in general said no. But he's the person who said yes there, and therefore later in history, that's how he became, that's how he converted. And conversely, the same thing is also when the Jewish people said that Nasa v'nishma, that we'll do what we'll hear. So that's in general, all the Jewish people said that. But there were Jews that deep down said, I don't want it. And those are the Jews that converted to other religions and went off of there. So it's both ways. So in general, as a whole, we did accept it.
All right,
there's stuff over here, okay?
Oh, sure.